David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Jeremy Ellens. Jeremy is the co-founder of a lead generation quiz software called Lead Quizzes. He's helped their users generate over 2.5 million leads. His company has personally managed over 300 quiz campaigns, millions of dollars in Facebook advertisement, resulting in millions in revenue for those clients. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, David. I'm excited to be here.
So I'm really intrigued by your story, and I'd love to hear a little bit about your background, about what led you to doing what you're doing now.
Yeah, so it started probably like 6 years ago. So I was in college. I met my business partner at the time, Donnerberry Visor. And it's been like a lot of evolutions. I think we kind of hit, you know, our own plateaus at different steps, and we continue to evolve. So when we started in college, started with David, was we started doing like web development. So we pretty much took like any job we could get. We would be, build a mobile site for $1,000 or, you know, some sites for $1,000, $2,000. So barely making any money. But we quickly learned that some of these clients, like we would get this site up like exactly how they described it, but they'd be like, all right, I'm not getting any more leads or any more sales. So that was kind of our first plateau from a business model standpoint. It was difficult for us because you'd close a deal and, you know, as we got going, we were charging like 10, 20 grand for these sites or more. So it'd be a good chunk of change, but you're always like chasing new revenue every single month. So that was kind of a plateau that we looked at, like, how can we do this better? Like, they aren't exactly getting the results they want, and it's not the best business model for us. So we switched over to a more recurring model where we went into marketing. We helped people with their leads and their sales, and we were doing all kinds of stuff at the time, driving traffic for people, setting up landing pages, doing email campaigns for them. And so we started getting a lot more results. Probably one of the biggest ones that we had before we changed again was with a guy named Peter Diamandis. We helped him generate just under $500,000 in sales and sell 18,000 books. And he grew his list by, I believe, about 40,000 people. So as we started growing that, like people may have already identified another plateau we were facing, which was we didn't really systematize and productize down like what we were selling. Like we were basically selling custom whatever like people wanted. And so the difficulties with that was it was hard to train employees like beyond a certain level of the team where my business partner and I had the experience and being able to like direct everything. It was really difficult to like scale that, and it was really difficult to make things a lot more profitable and systematize them because everything was so custom. So we got to that point, difficult to get like predictable and repeatable results when you're doing something different every single time. So we looked at like, what did we do really well? We had one client, her name was Dr. Tammy, and she wanted to become a best-selling author and sell a lot of books. She started, she had a couple hundred emails. She had a successful hormone practice in Seattle, but didn't have a lot going online yet. So we decided, let's focus on her email list. We put a quiz together, advertised it on Facebook, and after like about 6 months, we generated 35,000 leads for her at 19 cents a piece. And so it was a huge breakthrough for us. It was like, it was a huge deal for her. She went on to becoming the best-selling author. She sells a lot more online now. She has a much bigger impact on women all over the world. And so we saw that as a huge win. And so taking that and looking at all the problems that we were having with our current marketing model, we decided, you know what, this is something that we can do. It productizes our service. There's a really good software play here if we continue down this path. And so that's what we did. We started taking on a lot more customers to do quiz campaigns. They got a lot more predictable, repeatable results. And then we came out with the software, which serves thousands of people now and generated millions of leads, like you said.
So as I'm listening to all this and listening to what it sounds like various plateaus that have occurred in the 6 years since you first started your business. And also, congratulations, sounds like you've done a phenomenal job in the last 6 years. How did you figure out that you needed to make some changes?
So the marketing switch into like lead quizzes, that one was probably the most painful because we had like at the time we were charging 7,500 to 10 grand a month for our clients. And so, like I said, some of them, it was hard to get repeatable results because they would come to you with a completely custom problem, or that's like the business model we had at the time. And so I remember we lost a couple clients at the time. And so we were losing money for a few months because we held on to employees. Like I said, it took a long time to train some of the people we had, and we didn't want to let them go. So we ended up losing about $100,000, and it just got to the point where there was like a month or two left of like, all right, we got to make some changes here. We got to cut, you know, some employees like we did, and we got to figure out a better model for this. So that's kind of when we got like real scrappy and decided, you know what, we're going to go out and like hustle out some referrals for these quiz campaigns and then start creating a model around that. And, you know, thankfully that worked out for us.
And how did you figure out what was the sweet spot where you could create repeatable business and recurring revenue?
So first of all, from like I think there's like the result side for your clients of being able to get something predictable. So like in that custom space, if we're doing a webinar 1 week, we're driving traffic another week, we're helping people with an email campaign, like that's really, really tough unless you have just like a pretty big business and you have a lot of clients like that and you can see what works every single time. I think going back, we probably could have improved it some. And I think we kind of did, like doing the quiz service, where basically how we started the software was we would go out and we'd do a quiz set up for people and then we would advertise it. This was even before our software was created, and so that's how we productized that service. So yeah, what was the question again, David?
Yeah, I'm actually going to rephrase it. I'm thinking about your answer, and I'm wondering if you were advising another business owner that was experiencing some of the same elements that you experience. So business is way too custom. Right. So you don't really have great repeatable methodology or systems. Your business might be way too transactional. So you're constantly looking for new leads. What are if you had to boil it down to maybe a small number of questions that you could ask business owners who may be listening to this, what would be the questions you would ask them to ask themselves?
The first thing that I would look at, like that we asked ourselves, is like, what do we do really well? Like that's better than anybody else, that has a multiplier effect, because you want to have a multiplier like value based on what your cost is. So for us, that was quizzes. So it's getting like, how can you productize down? Like if you are a service-based business, like how can you make that a predictable and repeatable thing? I think a level deeper is like, what niche do you serve really well? So there's going to be some niches that are like easier than others for you to be able to serve. So for us, like we found that was like the health niche. From there, once you get that in place, like you can like spend some time and you figure out like what are the steps to go from, you know, whether it's like gaining a new customer to even like onboarding and like completing that service for people, you can start to develop systems. So we develop training, we develop, you know, KPIs or key performance indicators of like what are the things that we need to hit, monitor every single week. And then you can build like training around that. And so for us, you know, productizing, building niche, like that starts to like help you build out all of those things that are going to be successful. So that's how I would evaluate like the business.
Mm. And what's been some of the most transformational help that you've received to figure this out as you've been going through your own business journey?
So for us, like we've always like consumed a lot of content, education, and surrounded ourselves with people. But the biggest thing that like moved the needle forward was we hired a coach. His name was Lauren Howard. And I think what worked really well with him was he had been in the lead generation space in the past. He'd built a business to over 8 figures in less than 2 years. And he was really, really good at metrics and sales. And so with that, he taught us, you know, those exact things, like go after the area of business that you're doing the best at. Figure out like how to put these systems and the training in place, how to like look at your data to so you can like optimize that. And he taught us how to create, you know, a more predictable lead generation system for ourselves. So we weren't relying on referrals and networking. We were running ads, like getting new clients through like SEO and creating predictability in our business that helped us scale and grow.
Mm-hmm. And how did you decide to bring on a coach?
So we were in a program through entrepreneur organization called Accelerator, which was helping people grow from $250,000 to $1 million in sales. And so we kind of like met him through this group and like we saw that he did some of the things that we were looking to do. As simple as that sounds, I think it's easy to go out there and find like a lot of like different people that will be willing to mentor you. But I think finding someone that's in the position that you want, whether that's, you know, 7 figures, 8 figures, whatever it is, even personal, find someone that's done what you've done and they're probably going to have the roadmap to show you how to get there. And so I think that's how we evaluated it. Like we met him, like he did some amazing things and then he had been in similar spaces. And so I think that's one of the biggest reasons that he was able to help us grow so much.
And what's been your experience with community-based or peer support solutions like entrepreneur organization?
Yeah, I think it's really important. I think it's, you know, as an entrepreneur or like a business leader, it's really, really easy to get to feel like you get siloed. The more successful you get, obviously percentage wise, the less people they're going to be. Like hitting $1 million in your business, only 4% of businesses do that. So you're excluding a lot of people you can relate with. So I think like from a mental perspective, it is important to have that network. I think it's easy, like, you know, the other saying around like you're like the 5 people you hang out with all the time. I think that's really important and can continue to up level, you know, the people that you're hanging out with, that they've been in the spaces that you want to be. And you just get fresh ideas and perspective all the time.
And for what kinds of solutions do you think it makes sense to find an individual who can coach you versus being in a community of peer support?
I think both are important. They both have like different reasons, but I think both are important. Like even right now today, like we have a mentor that we work with one-on-one, and then we have like, you know, people that we work with in the group where there's accountability and there's, you know, that. But I think from a mentor perspective, it's good because they can tell you this is exactly what you need to do. Whereas a group, maybe you're asking like more feedback and just being around people where, you know, as you run into problems, you're able to like get feedback and support. So I would definitely recommend both.
And what, Jeremy, what do you think really successful business owners do that other people don't?
I think they're constantly learning, like, you know, listening to podcasts like this, reading books, surrounding themselves with top people. I think like oftentimes it's like, you know, just one idea that's going to make a big change. I remember in our business, like one of the things when we started doing these like quizzes was we would bring people on, and like we made a really compelling offer at the time where it was like, we'll do a free setup. You pay for your first month of ads, and then that's how we'll get started. And the problem was that a lot of people, like, they were busy in their business, or they just like didn't put urgency to it. So our setup would stretch out like 3 months and we're not getting paid any extra. And that was something that like plagued us for 3 months or something, until we finally figured out, all right, we're going to put a 30-day limit on this in the contract. And then like it solved it like overnight. And so that was something I remember like looking at in when I was in the accelerator through Entrepreneur Organization, where we were talking about cash flow cycles and how to speed up like your cash flow. So I think just surrounding yourself with these groups, like, you're going to be able to get ideas like this, like sometimes where you do have that, you know, plateau in your business or in your career. And it just takes like one simple idea to switch it and like solve it and help you move forward.
Do you think that there are step-by-step methods for getting support to work well?
What kind of support?
Either coaching or a peer support community.
Yeah, I think there is. I think the first thing is like getting really, really clear on like what your goals are and where you're trying to go. And then understanding like where you're at right now, and then the strategy of like how you're going to get there. So I think that's like the easiest framework to look at of like what you need to do. But a lot of people will skip those steps. They won't go through and like clearly define their goals and where they're trying to go, or, you know, the strategies, or even understanding where they're at.
Is there a particular structure that you find works well for you to both work in your business and work on your business?
Yeah, I think, you know, you have your like your KPIs of what you need to do every single day. And then I think you have like your OKRs, which we use are called objective and key results. And so we look at those on a quarterly basis and dial it back towards like, what are the things we want to move the business forward with versus necessarily just like continue to maintain and do the daily, you know, the daily stuff. So for example, with our software with lead quizzes, the big thing this quarter for us is really getting more people, you know, once they get into the software, like it's a great software, but how do we get people actually using it? So really focusing on getting more people to do that. And so that's something that we review every single week as a quarterly goal. And I think that helps like not only for yourself, but the whole company move like things forward where you're working on your business.
Yeah. How many people are in your company?
So we have 12 people.
And how many people review these metrics?
So everybody has their individual like metrics, and then, you know, we'll do a weekly meeting where we're going through it. So as like it, as some departments start to get larger, I don't think it's important to include every single person in it. But I think if you're a small company, everybody can be there. And if not, you know, just like the leadership team that you have.
Sounds good. And had you always wanted to be an entrepreneur?
No, I actually, when I was growing up, like, I didn't think I wanted to be a boss, but I think, you know, I went to like ASU, Arizona State, for music school for my first year. So I thought I was going to be in music. And then at the time, like in high school and college, I worked for an oral surgeon. And so I thought I wanted to be a dentist. So I was going through that, but I slowly started to realize I was like always fascinated with the business side. And then, so I just started going to different entrepreneur groups at ASU and just surrounding myself with people like that until I just started, you know, working on my own stuff before Yasmo.
And these groups that you went to in college, tell me a little bit about them.
Yeah, so I think they started out super informal. Like some of the people, like there was an entrepreneurs at ASU club where it was just people that had ideas, or some of them had like semi-successful businesses for our age. But they started out literally where it was just like everybody would meet up at a bar and someone would order some appetizers. And we would just talk about what people were working on. And then so, you know, you get some feedback and then you come up with some kind of idea what you can work on. Maybe you start to partner with some people. It was as simple as that, just like being aware of like what you want and surrounding yourself with those people.
So you were in a peer support environment early on.
Sure.
And is that where you met your partner?
So I met my partner. I'd started a business before him where I won like 10 grand through ASU to support it. And we had a team and my developer was moving to San Francisco to go work for Flipboard. So I was looking at how do I put together like the, you know, some developers that can get this to work on it for free. Cause I had no money at the time and was trying to be scrappy. So I started putting this group together of like the smartest like developers and business people I could find at ASU where we'd work on our own projects. Through that, I was just sitting across from my business partner Donnaberry in like one of these entrepreneur centers at ASU, and we just started talking and worked together on that and ended up leaving that and starting Yasmo, which became like Lead Quizzes.
Looking back on how you've developed your business with your partner, what are your thoughts for people who may be contemplating starting something with a partner or on their own? What are your thoughts about which path to choose, partnering with somebody or trying to launch something solo?
Yeah, I think it's a hard question. I think like anything else in life, there's multiple ways to do things and you'll be successful. For myself, like I think it's kind of hard looking back. Like I think it would be easier to find a partner today than it would be starting, because I think to find like a successful partnership, what you want is you want someone where you have your strengths and weaknesses like balance each other out. So for instance, with Donnaberry and myself, like he's really good at like researching and has pretty good follow through. And like he understands the tech side. So he like manages our development team. He researches new solutions and he handles that really well. And then myself, I think I'm more social and outgoing and it's easier for me to do sales. So I've handled our sales side of our business. So I think if you can find people where you guys have like things like that, that's really important. And I think a partnership's also like a relationship, like even, you know, like, with someone like a romantic relationship, there's things that you need to look at where, you know, do you respect each other? Like, do you give that person room to grow and not be like critical of them? Like, you know, like all the things that build like an important relationship, I think also come into like the business sense as well. So, you know, if you can gel on that aspect, I think you can have a successful partnership.
Sounds good. Jeremy, whom do you know personally who's been really successful at smashing plateaus?
Someone that comes to mind is one of my friends that I met through an entrepreneur organization. So his name's David Berg. He has a company called Redirect Health. And so he started a healthcare clinic where he has several of them, I think five or six in Arizona here. But he was finding like there was a lot of waste and it was difficult to get like profitability in that system. So he figured out a way how to like strip out all the expenses and make sure that that system was really efficient. And that helped him create a new company called Redirect Health, which is a health insurance, which is like $105 an employee per month, and that employee doesn't have to pay any like any copays, or they get go to doctor's visits for free. So he's been able to make like that business so efficient that he's able to bring down the cost a lot. I use him personally. He's someone that I look up to, and he's like he's done an awesome job at smashing through plateaus.
Sounds great. How long has he been in business?
I'm not exactly sure, but he's probably like 10, 20 years or something. Probably 20 years plus.
Sounds like a great example. And what can we look forward to from you, Jeremy, in the near future? What's coming up?
Yeah, so we just released a free plan of lead quizzes. So anybody can go and sign up and create a quiz for free and have it up for free forever. So we're really, really excited about that and continuing to improve, you know, the features and functionalities to make marketing simpler for people to create predictable sources of leads for their business.
And how can listeners learn more about you and follow you?
Yep. So you just go to our website, leadquizzesplural.com. So leadquizzes.com. And yeah, people can definitely reach out there or Twitter or LinkedIn or however else they want to reach out.
Sounds great. Well, Jeremy, thanks so much for coming on Smashing the Plateau today. It's been a great conversation about what you've done in your business. It's remarkable what you've achieved in 6 years. And thank you for sharing a lot of the background about how you've done what you've done and some tips for the audience. It's been terrific. My guest today has been Jeremy Ellens, co-founder of Lead Quizzes. Thank you again, Jeremy, for joining us.
Thanks so much, David.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by Tend Strategic Partners. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. Have you ever hit a plateau in your own life or career? If so, let's talk. It would be my pleasure to take you through one of our free half-hour discovery sessions, where we'll get to the bottom of what might be keeping you stuck and how to move things forward. Just give me a call at 212-731-0770. That's 212-731-0770. You never know what you might find out.